This week, a fresh version of Kali Linux is available, bypassing macro protections in MS Office, the worst password policy ever, hacker steal TV shows, Intel patches stuff going back to 2008, the world's most secure email server, and some updates for Android users. Jason Wood joins us for expert commentary on how the U.S. is taking on the world in NATO Cyber War Games exercises. All that and more on this episode of Hack Naked News. This is Security Weekly. For security professionals, by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News. Brought to you by... Do you have a website, an external presence, employees, an office? Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending these assets? Have you penetration tested these public assets? Start 2017 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting at blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night. Gain control of cyber risk with Tenable.io, the first vulnerability management platform built for today's elastic assets like cloud, containers, and web apps. Discover a fresh, asset-based approach that prioritizes vulnerabilities while seamlessly integrating into your environment. And improve ROI with the first elastic licensing approach based on assets, not IP addresses. Tenable.io delivers the data and context you need to secure your elastic attack surface. Start your free Tenable.io trial today by visiting Tenable.io. Welcome to Hack Naked News for May 2nd, 2017. I'm your host, Paul Asadorian, reporting on the security news for this week. But first, an update from our sponsor, ITPro.TV's courses now include Apple Certified Support Professional, CompTIA Security Plus, and ITIL Planning Protection and Optimization. Premium annual memberships include all video content, as well as access to virtual labs and Q&A forums. You'd pay $85.70 a month or $857 per year, but the special offer for you, for a limited time, get 30% off monthly memberships for the lifetime of your active subscription by visiting itpro.tv/hacknaked and using the discount code HN30. And now for the news. Kali Linux has a new update. A new release of Kali Linux is available now, version 2017.1. Some new features include support for injection mode on RTL8812AU chipsets used in the Alpha AWS036ACH cards, and streamlined support for CUDA GPU cracking. AWS and Azure now supports CUDA GPU cracking as well, and Kali Linux now includes an updated version of OpenVAS, which must be installed by hand as it's not included by default. Updated versions of OffCrack, Zap, and WPScanned, and more are included in this release. A pen tester has figured out how to get past Microsoft VB macro barriers. A dangerous new attack vector was disclosed privately to Microsoft this week. Sense posts, I apologize to you for butchering the pronunciation of your name, Atin Stolomans, found that Outlook has a forms capability that with a lot of work can embed VB code, and form script engine is separate from the VM macro. I think that should say VB, maybe VM, VB macro script engine. I think I either typed it wrong or something. The VB macro scripting engine. So the attack works even if macros are being blocked. Microsoft does not have plans to fix this, stating the techniques described in the blog is not a software vulnerability and can only be leveraged using an account that has already been compromised by another method. We encourage customers to set strong passwords, not share those passwords across multiple services, and enable security features such as multi-factor authentication to help keep them protected. My comment on Microsoft's comment was rubbish. rubbish. All of it's rubbish. Obviously, to bypass macros, you're going to get a user to click on something, which is one of the top ways in which attackers are able to penetrate an organization and now take advantage of this flaw. Rubbish, I say. Speaking of rubbish, meet Greyhound.com, the site that has the worst level of password security. And the level of password security offered by websites varies greatly. However, there are some, like Greyhound.com, that just plain suck. Greyhound.com's policy is to allow as short as a four-character password. And when you forget, I should say if you forget, but most of us, I think it's pretty much when you forget your password, it emails you an image of your password. If that's not bad enough, there's no mechanism to change your password. This story has successfully killed any hopes of security on the internet for me this week and maybe forever. A hacker has stolen and sharing unreleased TV shows. A hacker going by the handle The Dark Overlord, who previously targeted healthcare systems, has stolen, which is not so comforting, right? Has stolen, released 10 episodes of the Netflix show Orange is the New Black. Word on the street is that more shows have been stolen, all pointing back to a production vendor that has been hacked. This story underscores the importance of your supply chain and the security of your supply chain. Whether you're producing widgets or content, it's kind of important. Intel patches a remote execution hole that's been hidden in their chips since 2008. A bug in the management plane on select Intel processors has been discovered. The bug is in Intel's Active Management Technology, or AMT, Standard Manageability, ISM, and Small Business Technology, SBT, firmware version 6.11.6. According to Chipzilla, the security hole allows an unprivileged attacker to gain control and of the manageability features provided by these products. This could allow an attacker to essentially hide from the operating systems and any other compensating controls built on the operating system, like antivirus. Not that you can't bypass antivirus today, but in any case, the affected technology exists in most servers, not desktop products. To get a fix, you have to contact your hardware manufacturer to get a signed firmware update from Intel. How many people do you think will actually go through the trouble to do that? Remains to be seen, as does malware in the wild that will be forced to take advantage of this feature, because essentially bypassing endpoint protection technologies is not all that difficult, and your mileage may vary depending on which one that you're using. However, I see as endpoint technology moves forward that we will see more and more malware take advantage of these on-the-chip or on-the-management plane exploits. Why you shouldn't trust the most secure, and I quote, world's most secure email service. A security startup, Nomix, an Arlington, Virginia-based hardware maker founded by chief executive Will Donaldson, which builds, in his words, the world's most secure email service. The company promises absolute security in its email-in-a-box offering for anyone who buys the $199 device. Turns out, it's a Raspberry Pi that, according to security researchers, contains, quote, a litany of serious security flaws. So much for being the world's most secure email platform. IBM is warning their consumers and customers of malware on USB drives that were shipped. If you have one, you must destroy it immediately. IBM said an unspecified number of USB flash drives containing the StoreWise installation tool for V3500, V3700, and V5000 Gen 1 systems are infected with malicious code. All infected USB flash drives were shipped with the number, which has letters in it, 01AC585. That's 01AC585. It's like a game of bingo. Does anyone have 01AC585? If so, IBM has told its customers should be securely destroyed so it can't be reused. Points for the most creative destruction method, perhaps? Google patches six critical vulnerabilities, including media server bugs in Android, pushing out patches to address 17 critical vulnerabilities, six of which are tied to its problematic media server component, which we've talked about on the show in the past. An additional 4 critical vulnerabilities related to Qualcomm components in Android handsets, including Google's own Nexus 6P, Pixel XL, and Nexus 9 devices, were also patched, according to ZDNet. Also worth noting that last week, Google said 2 Nexus devices, 6 and 9, released in November 2014, would no longer be guaranteed to receive security updates after October 2017. Now it's time to dish out the dough for that brand new Google Pixel you've been wanting. Up next, expert commentary with Jason Wood from Paladin Security. But first, a word from our sponsors. IT Pro TV, an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. Access over 2,000 hours of up-to-date, high-quality video content live and on demand for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. Visit itpro.tv/hacknaked and use the code HN30. Has your network been breached? Cyber Reason can help you answer this question. Cyber Reason products hunt for threats within your network and eliminate them in real time. To Cyber Reason, real time means within seconds. Founded by former military hackers who don't play by the rules, they've built this experience into their platform. Harness ingenuity and imagination, not just code, to defeat attackers. Cyber Reason, disrupt the adversary and let the hunt begin. Welcome back to Hack Naked News. Just a quick announcement before we get to Jason Wood, who's here with me today. Come check out Wild West Hacking Fest. Wild West Hacking Fest is put on by Red Team Specialists for anybody and everybody interested in information security. Join us on October 27th and 28th for hands-on hardware hacking talks by famous infosecers like Dave Kennedy, Deviant Egypt, Chris Nickerson, Chris Gates, Mike Poor, and Sub T. Conference is being held in lovely South Dakota. Check out WildWestHackinFest.com. That's WildWestHackin, H-A-C-K-I-N, Fest.com. Jason Wood, welcome to today's program. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I would be fantastic if I could find my notes. Okay, I'm better now. I'm good.
You recovered your day quickly. I'm impressed.
It's better than like the last show. The show I did yesterday, nothing was working. My one tablet wouldn't, or Chromebook wouldn't connect to the Wi-Fi. My Linux laptop, location to, it was bad. It was a bad day. But the U.S. is taking on the world in NATO cyber war games, anyhow, was the story that you want to discuss today. Tell me about, like, what is NATO's cyber war game?
So I thought this article was interesting for a couple reasons. One, we've got to hear quite a bit lately about the offensive tools that the U.S. is using. In this case, we're talking about a defensive war game. And I kind of like the headline here, the U.S. takes on the world.
Yeah.
In a NATO cyber war game, which essentially meant is the U.S. and a bunch of its NATO allies got together to do a sort of capture the flag type of event where one country is playing the red team and the other countries are defending themselves against that.
I already know the password is Joshua, so since it's a war game,
is there you go.
It just implied or not.
There you go.
Sorry.
Maybe not.
Continue.
I kind of chuckled. I mean, we're taking on the world. Well, no, not really. We're doing some training here. And last year, this article was released on Wired last Friday. They talked about how the United States did last year in their initial participation in this war game, which was actually organized and sponsored, put on rather by the Estonians. And out of 19 countries that participated, the United States in defending its systems came in 19th, which is not a inspiring placement, to say the least. One of the stories they...
Hold on. It was put on by Estonia?
It was put on by Estonia.
Who is just pointing out the irony there.
I blinked. my first thought was, hey, they used to be in the Soviet Union. What do you know?
They're home to at least at one time, and probably still today, home to many. Although attribution is hard, but whatever. Estonia, we've read so many articles over the years about the hackers from Estonia.
Yep. Anyway. But regardless, the last year things didn't go so well for the United States. They had for example, that was flying out over the ocean that the red team took over, and they just made it do circles until it ran out of gas and crashed into the ocean. It wasn't a good experience for the United States. This year they came back to try it again and apply the lessons that they had learned. The exercise actually expanded from 19 original countries to now 25 countries. So a bit more competition to go on. And as they described it, it was pretty much chaos, as they have these assets that are under a constant level of attack for 2 days. And for anybody who has done a capture the flag where you're under fire by a red team and you're trying to defend those systems, it sounded very familiar to me.
Yeah,
trying to figure out what the heck is happening now.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah. So 2 days, no breaks, getting the crap beat out of you. To make it even more fun, you have military lawyers there this year telling you what you can and can't do. Should we be able to respond back with some kind of attack?
Yeah, usually that's off the table in a lot of these, which is just, it's kind of, I don't know. They're all run differently. I think in the U.S.'s defense, I think that whether you win or lose, and as a blue team in these exercises, you're losing, right? At least at some point, right? You're not winning every battle. Is the lessons learned from how you lost that are just as valuable from the lessons of how you won in the defensive mode? I think the same thing on the red team. So I wouldn't, the fact that we finished last, I mean, also could be the fact that everyone wants to pick on the U.S., right? Because I've also seen that in CCDC competitions, right?
Yep.
If you're not supposed to know who the people are behind the team, but sometimes it happens and you see someone saying stuff and you're like, I'm going to pick on that team, right? And that's just, yep. You know, that's what it happens. And in this case, I mean, I don't know if they knew they were the U.S. or not, but I'm sure being red teamers, they figured it out and probably picked on them. So I'll take the side of backing up the U.S. on this, that it was a valuable experience and it's not all doom and gloom.
And I would add that, the lessons learned this year, they came back and went at it again. And out of 25 countries, the United States moved up to 12th place. Mm. So they definitely learned a fair bit from the experience. They didn't lose control of their drone, for example. They didn't have bases get set on fire. They managed to deal with military or lawyers looking over their shoulder, telling them what they could and couldn't do. It was still absolute chaos, and I'm sure by the time they were done with the 2 days, they wanted to sleep for a week.
Yep.
But that's a pretty good size jump forward. And I think what you were just saying, defense, if you're running on blue team, it's hard. You're not going to win all the battles. Really, what you can hope to do is stay resilient enough to keep up your systems and keep doing what you need to do. You know, in this case, this is a military background of it, right? So you have, let's say, some kind of war in context.
Yeah, or you hack the scoring system.
Just
throwing it out there. Not saying that I've ever done that before, but just saying.
I will point out that as they reported on the results, they gave the top two teams, and the top team to win was the Estonians, who I thought I read earlier were actually the red team too. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
So I got a kick out of that. The only thing I can hope to make this maybe a little less traumatic for the participants is I hope that they didn't have to sit there in a dark room with techno music blaring at full blast for 2 days while they tried to figure out what the heck is going on with their systems. It starts off pretty fun, but along about the sixth hour, it's just like, somebody shut that off, please.
It is true. It is true. You gotta concentrate.
Yeah. But you gotta have
different music.
Definitely some positives here. Going from, you know, 19th to 12th with additional teams now behind that, another six teams. It looks like the U.S. learned a lot. And really, this type of exercise is where blue teams get better. We spend a lot of time, right, with the red teams learning how to do things. We do penetration tests. We do crap like that. But the blue team, quite frankly, we spend most of our days answering stupid questions like, did my email get delivered to so-and-so? And if so, not, why not? And, you know, you don't get a chance to train for this type of thing very much. And so this is definitely a positive thing to me to see the U.S. and our allies in NATO taking the time to put in some significant resources into putting on an exercise like this.
Absolutely. Jason Wood, thank you very much for appearing on this episode of Hack Naked News. Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. Hey, we'll see you next time.